I cannot see the blue light.
Doug, are you doing that?
Yes, I am. I've lost view of it. We had a problem earlier. Corinne, can you see that?
I do not, but I will run down to the hearing room again.
Oh, sorry about that.
I will go ahead and put it on pause for the time being.
Okay.
Broadcasting.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order today. And we have only one item on our agenda, Senate Bill 727, that we're having a hearing on for purpose of considering an amendment. So, Chris.
Did you want to take the roll, Madam Chair?
Oh, I did it again. See, I got thrown off. Please call the roll, Doug. Thank you.
Okay. Senator Finley.
Senator Finley present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner is present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Present on audio.
And Madam Chair Burdick.
Burdick present by video. Now we'll start. We have a public hearing on Senate Bill 727, so I will open that public hearing. Chris.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 727 as drafted is a study bill, but there is a dash two amendment that is nearly identical to the dash one amendment. And the general policy here, as discussed before, is unchanged in the dash two. The bill would create a new entity level tax on pass-through entities. It would be an opt-in program, so the businesses could choose annually whether or not they wanted to participate in the program. And if they do participate, the owners would then be allowed a tax, their pro rata share of the tax, a credit against their pro rata share of the tax on their personal income tax returns. So from that perspective, it's revenue neutral to the state. The entity level would be paying the tax, and then there'd be credit on personal income tax returns. This is a workaround to the SALT limitations that the committee has discussed. The only thing that is new in the dash two is the years of applicability. And the exact language that's different is on page six, line six. You'll see that it has a sunset date of January 1, 2024. So in the dash two, this tax and credit regime would exist for two tax years 22 and 23.
Okay, and that amendment was put in response to some of the issues that Senator Finley raised, that this in the future, this could be used by either side of the tax and credit issue to exclude one and keep the other. So we have signed up today two people. We've got Marjorie Taylor and Ben Gelly, both from the Department of Revenue. So Marjorie, do you want to start us out?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Marjorie Taylor, Legislative Director for Revenue. And we want to acknowledge the bigger policy discussion around this amendment in the bill. However, wanted to share with you some of the administrative impacts associated with this, as it's a new tax and it's effective for those 2 years, as Chris described, for 2022 and 2023. So I brought along Ben Gilley, who can discuss with you a little bit of the administrative impact and what our implementation would be associated with the Dash 2 amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Mr. Gilley.
Good afternoon. Thank you. For the record, my name is Ben Gilley, and I'm with the Oregon Department of Revenue here to speak about some of the administrative work that would be required to implement this tax. And so, Senator Burdick, members of the committee, Ms. Taylor had submitted a one-pager for the department, and so it does highlight some of these things, but I'll kind of give you an overview of what those would mean. And so, With respect to administration of a new program, then it does require some programming on our part. So we would need to create a whole new program in order to administer this tax, and so that we can isolate it and work with it, in isolation. And so what we believe would also require, and we're basing this on what we've seen with the state of New Jersey, is that they've created a new form as well for reporting, and then also to identify each of the owners and their share of the credit that they would be claiming on their return. So there would also be some administrative rules in order for us to provide some guidance to both the entity and the owners. When we talk about a new tax, we do, it raises some additional questions, such as, are we going to require estimated tax payments? Or in the event that they need to amend, then we would need to create some means of them amending that return. And then now we have to determine how we, provide refunds to either the entity, and then make sure that it follows through to the owners. And so those are some of the administrative considerations that we would be working on as well. Software companies would want to provide a electronic means for entities to be able to use their software. And so we would be working with them on that. And then really for 2 years, it sometimes takes a year or two to educate our entities and our partners on how to administer this tax and work through all the kinks. And so that's really what we wanted to bring forward today, is just some of the administrative considerations.
And Senator Finley has a question, but before I turn it over to him, you really wouldn't be talking about amendments if it was just the 22 and 23 tax year, would you?
Good question, Senator or Chair Burdick. There could still be some situations where, if, for example, they reported the wrong amount that they had paid, and so in that case, it may create a situation of amendments. It probably wouldn't occur very often, but if it may occur in one or two situations, we still have to create a process to be able to handle them.
Okay, Senator Finley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Gilley. I think I answered my question while I was thinking about it more, but the third party software companies that rely on Oregon to provide them timely information to make their changes, are we within that window with this legislation? Will they have adequate time to amend their systems to deal with this change?
Chair Burdick, Senator Finley, very good question. Our timeline normally would be we would start to work with them in the summer and the fall to start on the programming, but it would still be fairly tight timeline, because what first drives the software requirements is our forms. And so we would have to kind of work through all of the processes first, and the business requirements, and be able to answer the what if in these situations, how do you handle it? We would have to work through all of those things, and we would anticipate having to do that potentially through rule before we could then begin to work with our software partners.
So, Madam Chair?
Please do.
So to summarize what I think I heard, I wanted to make sure, is it would be problematic to meet the timeframes. By the time you go through the rules and the adaptives and sorting out all the bugs that you would have to make sure you have it right, it would be pushing the timeframe pretty hard, I assume.
Yes, Chair Burdick, Senator Finley, it would be very tight for tax year 2021. However, with the amendments, affecting tax years 22 and 23, then we would still have some time to be able to do that.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Mr.
And this question may be more for Marjorie. And we have not requested a fiscal because we don't do that until we set a work session. But would you anticipate a fiscal on this, Marjorie? It sounds like you might.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, we do anticipate a fiscal associated with this and would submit that at the request of legislative fiscal.
Got it. Okay. Okay, are there other questions from the committee? All right. Thank you. This has been very helpful, and we'll review your one pager. Oh, there's Senator Boquist. Senator Boquist.
Thank you, ma'am. Could Chris just re-walk me through the dynamics of how we go to revenue neutral? I mean, we're basically going to raise the rate from 9.9% to 10.9%, and how do those two offset, and what are the dynamics of that since this is a tax increase bill?
Sure, Senator, Vice Chair Boquist, Senator Burdick. It's a new tax. So in the bill, there's a new on page, it starts on page 2, but it's mostly on page 3. We basically have a four bracket rate structure. So you would have, for example, an S corporation would be subject to this tax if they opted in. It is an optional program. So they could opt into this. And depending on the income that the S corporation had in, say, tax year 2022, it would be subject to those tax rates. And they range from 5.675% all the way up to the 10.9% that you mentioned. And let's say that their income was such that their tax liability was $100,000. And this is an S corporation with two owners. So the S corporation, and they own an equal share in the company. The S corporation would pay the $100,000 in tax. And then each of the two owners would get a tax credit for $50,000 because the entity is paying the tax of $100,000. So collectively, they have less income. Now, the value of doing that $100,000 is fully deductible at the federal level. That's the reason for doing it this way. But because of the tax, the company makes $100,000 less because of the tax. So each of the two owners then on their personal tax return would get a tax credit of $50,000. So the state would receive $100,000 from the business, but then $50,000 less from each of the two owners from the personal income tax program. At least that's the concept of how it should work.
Do you have a follow-up, Senator Boquist?
No, dazzled by the footwork, thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. This is a short and sweet committee. Chris, is there anything else? As you all know, I will be gone tomorrow and Friday. Well, we don't normally meet on Friday anyway. And so we will have no meeting tomorrow. So have a nice weekend, everyone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You as well.
Thank you, and we're adjourned.